Good morning. Today's reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "God to glory in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
There's been a lot of talk in recent years about the effects of social media in our lives. A lot of it has to do with how social media is not really an accurate reflection of how people's lives really are. Each post that is made is meticulously curated, and what we end up with is seeing only the good and none of the imperfect. It's like that one Christmas photo that you see where everything is just right. The lighting is on point, everyone in the family is smiling, nobody blinks, the camera catches your good side. But what you don't see are the countless other photos that didn't make it. The one that had the derpy look on your face. The one where someone's staring off into who knows what. The one where the kids are whining, "Are we done yet? This is taking so long." The one where the Christmas tree in the background is set on fire. I tend to think that Christmas is a lot like that. Between the merry, cheerful songs that we hear, the lights all around, and the holiday parties that abound, there's this expectation of Christmas that reality cannot sustain. We expect the Christmas magic of New York City to look like this, but it looks more like this. We expect Christmas cupcakes that we bake to look like this, but instead they really look like this. We expect that when we're staring at that person at the Christmas party looking like this, except we look like this. I love that picture of Samuel L. Jackson. The reality is that every Christmas, Every Christmas season, we carry around with us the pain of loved ones that we've lost, the chaos of our personal lives, a fatigue from the busyness of the season that we just can't shake. Now, I'm not a Christmas hater. I need you to know that. I'm not declaring a war on Christmas. The Chan household is very pro-Christmas. We have gifts, we do decorations indoors, and now it's expanded outdoors, right? We got wreaths on wreaths, and this year I came home and I saw like candy canes that light up outside my yard. I'm like, honey, where'd those candy canes come from? And she's like, it was Noah. And I said, I didn't know Noah had a Costco card. All that is to say, we are pro-Christmas in the Chan household. But all this Christmas atmosphere, the sentimentality, the Christmas spirit, it's merely a shadow of the real thing. All that is in our Christmas surroundings is really pointing to the one true thing, the solid joy, the ultimate joy of Christmas. C.S. Lewis describes it well. Do you ever remember those times in your life when you're with your parents in the mall and then you get separated from them? In those moments, all of a sudden, a feeling of dread and fear would just wash over you as you start to come to the realization that you're no longer with your parents. Now, the racks of clothing are so high, you can't really see over them. But then, just then, out of the corner of your eye, you see the unmistakable shadow that you know is your mom. Now, the shadow of your mom will bring you some comfort, but it is nothing compared to the joy of actually running to your mom, seeing your mom, and then hugging your mom's legs. Today, in Luke chapter 2, we're going to cling to this solid reality, this ultimate joy that comes in the person of Jesus Christ. This joy in Jesus is the kind of joy that nothing that ever happens in life can ever take away. It's the kind of joy that I hope that each of you would come to experience, to cherish, to delight in this Christmas season. Our passage today is a familiar one. It's one in which Jesus is born in a manger in Bethlehem. God chooses shepherds to be the first ones to hear about this good news of great joy. We're going to look at this arrival of joy in three parts. First, joy comes in the person of Jesus Christ. Second, joy is available to all. And third, joy shows itself in praise and obedience. Again, let me say it again. Joy comes in the person of Jesus. Joy is available to all. And joy shows itself in praise and obedience. Now first, this solid joy comes in the person of Jesus Christ. On that first Christmas night, outside of the little town of Bethlehem, shepherds were going about their usual routines when God broke through. The darkness of the night sky was suddenly replaced with the radiant glory of the Lord, and the shepherds were terrified. The text tells us they received comfort from an angel. Verse 10 says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" This joy comes in the form of good news. Now, the late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones makes a helpful distinction between good news and good advice. I heard this through Tim Keller. Lloyd-Jones says this: "Advice is counsel about something to do, and it hasn't happened yet, but you can do it. News is a report about something that has happened. You can't do anything about it, and it's been done for you, and all you can do is respond to it." Now think this out. Imagine this scenario. A king goes out, he goes into battle against an invading army in order to defend his land. Now, if the king defeats this invading army, what he does is he sends back messengers, heralds, a happy envoy. These people come back, bring this report, and they say, "It has been done. It is finished. The king has been victorious. The enemy has been vanquished. Therefore, respond with joy. Go about your lives. Live your lives out in peace, knowing what has been accomplished for you." But say, the invading army instead breaks through. What the king does then is he sends military advisors. They would say, swordsman over here, marksman over there, horseman over here. We're going to have to fight for our lives. And Lloyd-Jones says, every other religion sends military advisors to people. Every other religion says, you know, if you want your salvation, you're going to have to fight for your life. Every other religion is sending advice, saying you need to do this, these are the rituals, these are the laws, these are the regulations. Fight for your own life. But in Christ, God sends heralds. We send messengers, not military advisors. The response for good advice is fear, because we constantly wonder if we have done enough. But contrast that with good news, where the response is joy, because it has already been done for us. The angel makes clear that this good news of great joy comes in the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 11 says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. If the great problem of humanity was caused by a lack of knowledge, God would have sent us a teacher to educate us. If the great problem of humanity was caused by a lack of motivation, God would have sent us a motivational speaker to inspire us. But the great problem of humanity is caused by sin. And so the Lord has sent us a Savior to rescue us from our sins. Humanity's problem is a sin problem. We were made for God, and the greatest and only lasting happiness is found when we're in right relationship with God. Sin has broken this relationship with God, and we find ourselves with a God-shaped void. We try to fill it with different things in our lives, sometimes even good things, but none of it ever truly satisfies. The philosopher and mathematician Blaise Pascal says this, all men seek happiness. This is without exception. Whatever different means they employ, they all tend to this end. The cause of some going to war, of others avoiding it, is the same desire in both, attended with different views. The will never takes the least step but to this object. This is the motive of every action of every man, even those who hang themselves. Certainly, there will be times when you find yourself with moments of extraordinary happiness, and those moments are real, but they don't last. In a couple of days, you will be unwrapping your Christmas gifts. 3 days if you're Canadian. In my family, we get good gifts for our kids. But to this day, none of my kids have ever said to me, Daddy, I don't need anything. I don't want anything. Last year's gift that you got me, it's already filled that toy-shaped void in my heart. That has never happened, and it will never happen in the history of man. Why? Because those toys that seem to be like the greatest thing in the world last for a moment, but that satisfaction can never hold our attention. The yearnings, the longings that we sense are mere signposts that remind us that we were made for another world, that we are made for the presence of God. Marva Dawn says, only the triune one is large enough to fill the grand capacity of our spiritual yearnings. Sin is what separates us from God. Jesus Christ came to pay the penalty of our sins. Many times, people will say, on Christmas, we should focus on baby Jesus, the arrival, the incarnation of Christ, because the death of Christ is for Good Friday and Easter. But I don't think so. Even in this very first announcement of the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, the angel makes a point to declare Jesus as the Savior, the Messiah, Christ, the Lord. Jesus was born to die. He came as a sin bearer so that by his stripes we might be healed. The incarnation and the crucifixion are inextricably tied together, because from the very beginning, Jesus' mission here on earth was to give his life as a ransom for many. Joy comes from the salvation that Jesus brings. Joy comes in the person of Jesus Christ. What that means for us is if you are a follower of Jesus, this solid, ultimate joy that ultimately comes through Christ shapes every facet of your life. It brings new meaning out of your life. It puts perspective into perspective anything and everything that threatens your joy in Him. Present pain and suffering gets put into perspective. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, the Apostle Paul says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." What Paul is saying here is that these troubles, these afflictions that he's going through, when compared to the eternal weight of glory that is in store for him, is light and momentary. This is the same Apostle Paul who was spat on, rejected by his own people, stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked, imprisoned, along with physical impairments like failing eyes. He considers all these troubles as one, temporary, and two, light, even fluffy, almost to the point of being inconsequential when compared to the eternal, weighty, glorious joy that is in store for him, and that is in store for every single one of us in the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be facing pain today, and I'm not here to minimize that pain. But I am here to say the weighty, glorious joy of Jesus puts it all back into perspective. Fear and anxiety get put into perspective. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. If God accepts you, what can man do to you? Fear and anxiety get put right back where they belong. Real joy gets put into perspective. When we fully appreciate Christ's arrival and what it means for us as people saved by grace, we begin to recognize what we possess is a joy that nothing in life can ever take away. It's like if all of a sudden you were hired for a job that pays an astronomical amount. We're not talking just kind of rich. We're talking Jeff Bezos kind of rich. You never have to worry about money again. And now say, somehow, you drop and lost a $100 bill. $100 is real money. It would be a real loss. But would it make sense for you to get worked up now over the loss of that $100? Would it be reasonable for you to fret over the lost bill or to lose sleep over it? Of course it wouldn't. It's not the $100 is worthless, but in comparison to what you now possess, it's relatively inconsequential. And in the same way, in life, there will be times when your joy is threatened by real things. But when we step back and we clearly see this real solid joy that comes in Jesus Christ, things get put into perspective real quickly. Joy comes in the person of Jesus. Second point I want to make is that this real solid joy is available to all. There are two places which we see that this joy is available to all people. First, it literally says it. Verse 10 again. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Joy is available for all the people. Second, the fact that God chose shepherds to be the first to hear about the arrival of the Savior reminds us that this joy is for everyone. It was no accident that God chose shepherds gathered on the outskirts of Bethlehem. Words are hard. To hear about Jesus first. A couple of weeks back, Pastor Gary reminded us of how small, how insignificant Bethlehem was. And now we got guys not even in Bethlehem, but outside of Bethlehem. It's like living in the backwater part of a podunk town. I have a friend of mine. He has family that lives in rural Montana. I remember him saying, "It's like this. It's not quite the edge of the world, but we can see it from here." That's where the shepherds were. And if you've been to church during Christmas, you'll already know that shepherds were lowly and despised. They weren't men of great standing in the community. At that time, they were considered what they call people of the land, which is a bit of a derogatory catch-all phrase to describe anyone who is not keeping up with their religious observance. Religious leaders would derisively call them people of the land, as opposed to themselves, who are the people of God. Yet it was no accident that God chose shepherds. It shows how God's upside-down kingdom works. When the child of someone famous is born, the expectation is that he or she would be greeted and welcomed into the world for someone who is equally famous, or equally influential, or equally powerful, but not our God. Our God takes angels, one of creation's most exalted, powerful beings, to bring this good news of great joy to a lowly people, humble shepherds. All of this was to show how he is a God who's not impressed by the things we're impressed by. This is a God who loves people no matter who they are, no matter where they've been, no matter what they've done. It's no accident that the Lord has brought you here to this worship service. Now, there are some of you who are here Sunday after Sunday and never miss a worship service. And then there are others here who are here because it's Christmas and you're here with a family member. But to each and every one of us, the fact remains, it's no accident that you're here. It's no accident, because God is the one who has providentially brought you here. To every single one of us, the Lord says, this message of good news, of great joy, is for you. Whether you are good or bad, whether you are rich or poor, whether you are young or not quite so young anymore, whether you are killing it in life or getting killed out there, Christ bids you to come to experience this joy that is found only in him. Just as he met the shepherds where they were, he meets us where we are. Has this ever happened to you? I feel like it happens in New York City quite a lot, because we're such a densely populated area. But you know, off in the distance, someone starts to wave at you. It's a little too far for you to kind of figure out who it is. You don't want to be rude, so you go and you kind of like wave back, right? But then they start to get a little closer, and you're like, I don't really know this person. You're racking your brain, trying to figure out who it is. They come right up. You're sure you don't know them. Then they walk right past you, and they hug someone behind you. Has that ever happened to you? Never happened to me. But I know this guy. His name's Baron, right? It's the worst feeling in the world, isn't it? Happens a couple more times, and before you know it, someone waves and you look behind you to make sure there's no one behind you. Or you get to a point where you're like, it doesn't matter if it's your wife, you're not waving back. I mentioned this because it can feel like that when the Lord is waving at you and trying to get your attention. You might be thinking, he's not talking to me. Or you might turn your head back and make sure that there's no one else behind you. Or you might be doing the me. And right now, the Lord is saying, you, yes, you, I'm talking to you. This good news of great joy is for you. Some of us have a hard time believing this. Some of us don't believe it because we can't get past ourselves. Sometimes we're our own harshest critic. We know our own failings. We wrestle with our own personal disappointments. We don't feel worthy. But let the message of God announcing the arrival of his son to shepherds, and to shepherds first, remind you that God meets you where you are, and he has not come to bring good advice, but he brings good news of great joy, and this joy is available to you. All we do is we respond. This joy is available to all. The last point is that joy shows itself in praise and obedience. In hearing this announcement of the arrival of Jesus from the angel of the Lord and seeing the heavenly host, the shepherds respond. They go and they see this baby Jesus for themselves. And when they see him, they are filled with joy. He is the real thing. And they become the first people to spread the word about this good news of great joy to everyone around them. Now, tomorrow night, we have our Christmas Eve candlelight service. And this service has always been one of my favorite memories, even back when I was just a wee lad. Each of us, during this Christmas service, Christmas Eve service, are given a candle at one point. And there's a little paper holder, right? Never works. There's always these gaps, and the hot wax always goes through. But it doesn't matter. When the lights are turned off, one by one, you start to see those candles being lit, and it starts to spread steadily but surely. And the darkness is replaced by the collective light of the candle. It's always been an image that has sunk in to my own consciousness, because it's a beautiful image. It's a picture of how God's joy is spread from person to person to person. And this passage reminds us that it all started with the shepherds. When they experience joy, the natural response is to praise it, and it's to spread it. Now, I come from a family that loves food. My brother-in-law is an Englishman, right? English people aren't known for food. And when he married and joined our family, one of the things that he remarked was that the Chans are the only people that he knew that would start talking about what are we going to eat for dinner when we're still eating lunch. We just love food. And as a food lover, what I notice is when I discover a new restaurant, a restaurant that I know is great, I can't help it but want to share it with others so that they too can be like, wow, that porterhouse steak is legit. Praise is the natural expression of joy. C.S. Lewis says it much more eloquently. He says this: the world rings with praise. Lovers praising each other, readers their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game, praise of weather, wines, dishes, actors, motors, horses, colleges, countries, historical personages, children, flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare beetles, and even sometimes politicians or scholars. I had not noticed either that just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in praising it. Isn't she lovely? Wasn't it glorious? Don't you think that magnificent? The shepherds here, praising God and telling everyone about the good news of great joy, are doing what all men do when they speak of what they care about. This Christmas, delight yourself in the lasting, solid, ultimate joy of Jesus Christ. Let it ring true in your heart. Let it overflow into those around you so that together we all can delight in his joy as well. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, in a couple of days, we welcome the arrival of your Son, Jesus Christ. And for many of us, it's been one of many Christmases that we have experienced. But we pray that familiarity would not breed contempt, but rather you would remind us of the great joy, the great gift, the treasure that you really are, that in Christ, this joy can never be taken away. And in Christ, this joy is ours. May we delight in it. May we give thanks to you. May we share it unabashedly, knowing that you are good, that you are glorious, that you are the one that we were made for. We pray these things in the victorious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came and will come again. Amen.